This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Would you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, thank you that you speak to us through your word and by your spirit. Please now give us a moment free from distraction that we might hear your word and respond in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first step to solving a problem is recognizing the problem. You've heard that before? Is it true? First step to solving a problem is recognizing the problem. I understand that as you go along to Alcoholics Anonymous, you introduce yourself by name and you say, I have a problem. My name is Tom and I have a problem. That first step is actually recognizing the problem. Now, friends, we've got a problem. We've got a problem, and the problem is this. Sin kills fellowship. Sin kills our fellowship with God, our Father. Sin kills fellowship between us. Sin is the greatest impediment to a relationship with God. And what's sin? Well, sin's, lots of words are used for sin in the Bible. Rebellion. Unfaithfulness, impurity, trespass. But the passage that we're looking at today that was just read for us describes sin as darkness where God is light. So that's the problem. Now, last week we spoke of that wonderful gift of fellowship, that we can have fellowship with our Father in heaven through Jesus, his Son, that as our God, he invites us into partnership with him. We're in business with him. His concerns are our concerns. He invites us to talk to him. He speaks to us through his word. And in all of this, he calls us together to be following him in Christ, persevering together, so that we not only have fellowship with him, but we have fellowship, we have partnership with one another. That is a tremendous gift of God. But the problem is that sin kills fellowship. At least sin threatens to kill fellowship. So what I want to do today is I want to start with why. Why does sin kill fellowship? And then look at two approaches to sin that kill fellowship. So the first approach to sin is recognizing sin but doing nothing about it. The second approach to sin is actually not recognizing sin, not acknowledging sin. And that leads to being out of touch with the God who is light. That leads to a severing of our fellowship with God. Let's start with why sin kills fellowship. You can see it there in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Have you got that open? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Why does sin kill fellowship? Well, because God is light and sin is darkness. 1 John 1:5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. God is light, not light is God. There's many ways to describe God. God is love. God is light. God is spirit. He can't adequately be described as only one of those. But light, character, is critical to his essence, his character, that light that is opposite to darkness. Now, of course, you see in the Old Testament that God created light. Let there be light. God redeemed his people by light. Remember, as they left Egypt, he led his people out by a pillar of light. But he's more than that. It's a bit like the prophet Habakkuk speaks to God and says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. God is described in 1 Timothy 6 as the one who alone is immortal, who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. You get the picture of what God is like as light? He is holy. He is separate. He is unapproachable, particularly unapproachable to those like us who can't do it on our own strength, who can't get there on our own strength because we sin. It's funny, sometimes when I'm chatting with friends, they say, I like to think of God as... And at that point, I want to stop them and say, no, God has told you what he's like. But no, listen. I like to think of God as my kind uncle who knows me and loves me for who I am. He doesn't he doesn't really want me to change. That's how much he loves me. He doesn't really want me to change anything. He doesn't expect me to change. Have you heard that? That kind of thing I like to think of God as. Imagining God as anything other than who he has revealed himself to be leads to pain. Leads to pain in this life, it leads to pain in the next as you stand before him in judgment. God is light. In him there is no darkness. That is why sin threatens to kill fellowship. Let me move on to the two particular approaches to sin that kill fellowship. The first is recognizing sin but doing nothing about it. You see that in verse 6, 1 John 1:6. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. This passage doesn't pull any punches. It actually calls you a liar. God is calling you a liar if you reckon you can have fellowship with God but still live in unrepentant sin. Now notice that God isn't saying that you are a liar if you claim fellowship with him but still sin. We all do that. We're all in that boat. No, this is saying something different. This is talking about a pattern of sinful behaviour, a pattern of sinful behaviour that is not repented of. That's why it uses the language of walking. We all know what walking is. Walking is just moving, persistent movement in a particular direction. You might call it a lifestyle. Walking in the darkness is a lifestyle of unrepentant sin. You can't claim to have fellowship with God and have that. What do we do instead? Verse 7, 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Now, our pattern of behaviour, our lifestyle, must reflect the God who we follow. It's got to, our lifestyle has got to reflect God's character. That must be our persistent behaviour. That must be our walk. Now, the way you treat sin in your life impacts on the fellowship that you have. Now, I find verse 7 really surprising. I don't know whether you read it and thought it was surprising. This is the one time in the sermon I don't want you to look at the Bible. I don't want you to look at the Bible, okay? But let me just read verse 7 again and tell me what comes next. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with... See, I would have thought God comes next, right? We have fellowship with God, but that's not actually what it says. Have a look. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. See, it's interesting here, isn't it, that sin, that your sin doesn't just impact your fellowship with God. It's not just between you and God. Your sin impacts the people sitting around you. Alternatively, the way that you walk affects the fellowship you have with other Christians. I was surprised. I read a statistic that surprised me recently. It was that 48% of Australian church Australian church attenders believe that real Christians don't need to go to church. It's not saying Christians don't need church for salvation, but the comment is that real Christians don't need to go to church. That's not 48% of our population. That is 48% of those who attend church. Now, if you believe that, I don't know how you read verse 7. We are saved not as a random bunch of individuals, but we are saved as a church. He has redeemed his people. He has redeemed the elect. So our sin has not just implications for our fellowship with God, our sin has implications for each other. And sin kills fellowship. Let me give you some examples. If you're not repenting of a particular bitterness to another person, that affects the fellowship. Take materialism, something that we often struggle with, that desire for more, that chasing after something more. When you're not repenting of that, it affects the people around you. We catch it like a virus. Flip that the other way. Just say you are repenting of your bitterness. When I see you repent of your bitterness, I think, ah, I must go and attend to mine. You know, sin has that, we have that impact on one another. When I see you stop that desire for more, I think, oh, gee, I should go and think about the way I'm living. See, we rub off on each other badly and we rub off on each other well. Our sin has an implication for our fellowship with one another, as well as our fellowship with God. But it does have an impact on our relationship with God. But with walking in the light, we can continue to have that relationship with God. Verse 7, the end of it there, the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. See, walking in the light, again, it doesn't mean walking in a sinless way. Otherwise, what's this verse doing there? No, it's talking about our repentance. Our repentance indicates that we are walking in the light. God continues to purify us from our sin. Now, I know some of all of us struggle with sin at different points in our life in different ways. But when we're struggling with sin, one thing is sure. Satan is tempting us to despair. See, Satan says, you're not really going back to God with that sin again, are you? Satan wants to convince us that we've overspent our cap on forgiveness, right? Satan wants to convince you that there's no forgiveness left in the bank because you've come back too often. Hear this. Walking in the light, Jesus purifies your sin. All sin. Not some of it, not most of it, all of it. As you turn back to God through Jesus, it's impossible to go back to God too often. Because walking in the light, the blood of Jesus extends to every sin. So friends, that's the first approach to sin that leads to the death of fellowship. That is recognizing sin but doing nothing about it. Walking in the darkness. That kills fellowship amongst us, kills fellowship with God. Second approach to sin that kills fellowship is refusing to acknowledge sin. As refusing to acknowledge either our sinful nature or our sinful actions in the past. 1 John 1 verse 8, and you see it also in verse 10. 1 John 1:8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. Now that's controversial. There are a lot of people who bristle at the idea that they are not good people. That there's something wrong about them, that there's something inherently evil about them. If that is you, then God would say to you, through this passage, he would say, you don't know yourself. You're having yourself on. The Bible encourages us to do the opposite, which is verse 9, recognizing the problem and confessing it. The Bible encourages us to confess our sins to one another. That's the great strength of the Anglican liturgy, is the prayer of confession. It says this: we acknowledge with shame the sins we have committed by thought, word, and deed, against your divine majesty, provoking most justly your wrath and indignation against us. We earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for all our offences. Now, of course, if that is the only time you say sorry to God, as we pray that prayer of confession every week, I think you're at risk of kidding yourself in this area. You've got to keep going back to God, returning to Him and repenting. You might do it in your quiet times. You might do it with someone that keeps you accountable before God. But keep confessing your sins. And when you do that, when you do that activity of confessing your sins, here's what you're saying. When you confess your sins, you are saying, I am sick. I'm not well. When you confess your sins, yes, you may be a compassionate person. You may feel strongly about issues of righteous justice. But when you're confessing, you're saying, it's not all good. I'm actually not good. I'm bad. Yes, you're created in God's image, and that's fantastic. But confessing to a sinful nature, you are saying, I'm blinded by my sin. I'm crooked. All is not well in my heart. Now, that habit is deeply offensive to your neighbours, to many of your neighbours. The fact that you think it all is not well in here, that you're not a good person, that is deeply offensive to your neighbours. But not confessing your sin, that's deeply offensive to God. And of course, there is great joy and relief in confessing your sins, your brokenness to God. Have a look in verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Well, we started in 1 John 1:5. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. And we started that is the reason that sin kills fellowship with God. But when we confess our sins, God demonstrates those characteristics of faithfulness and justice. As I read that verse, I was a little bit surprised that those are the characteristics that mark out God at this point of our confession. See, I don't know about you, but when I confess my sins, the characteristics of God I'd like to think of are mercy and patience. That'd make me feel all right about confessing my sins. But when I come up with those characteristics, faithfulness and justice, I'm thinking, well, as I'm confessing my sins, I'm confessing to being unfaithful. And you come up against justice and you think, I'm confessing my sins and I recognise I don't make it in terms of God's grade of justice. So I'm really an unfaithful trespasser. And you come up those characteristics of God, of faithfulness and justice. Why is that? Well, faithfulness. As you remember God's faithfulness, you remember that He keeps His promises. That as He promises to forgive your sins as you turn to Him, you know that He is true to His word. He is faithful and He will do it. That is the foundation for your confidence as you confess your sins. And surprisingly, justice is a comfort also to the unfaithful trespasser. Justice is a comfort because God ensures that justice will give each his due. Now that frightens us, right? Until we remember Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross. We tremble at the thought of God's justice if it were not for Jesus' death for us. When He's on the cross, my sins are on Him. And so we turn and we see God's system of justice. That He's designed for us in Jesus. He's designed a system of justice where He is still righteous, yet we walk free. Friends, that is a great joy, to know a God who is light, who is also willing to dwell with me. someone who was walking in the darkness. He is faithful. He is just. What great news. Let me sum up. Sin kills fellowship, right? It kills fellowship because God is light. The first mistake we make, we have fellowship. We say we've got fellowship with God, but we don't change from unrepentant, sinful behaviours. At that point, we are kidding ourselves. We're not really in fellowship with God. Second mistake we make when we're moved, when we're just not moved from our fortified conviction that we are good. At that point, we are calling God a liar. Sin kills fellowship. But when we recognize the problem of sin, when we recognize of the solution through Jesus' death on the cross, his death for my sin, we recognize that he is faithful and just, he is everything that we aren't, then together we sing, "Hide me now, my refuge be. Let the water and the blood from your wounded side which flowed be for sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power." Friends, that is great news that we can take refuge in Jesus as we turn to him in repentance.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.